Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Okay, I couldn't find anything better. Either could you. Let's do
or
this.
Or you grow up, you married when you were like, you know, way too young, which is any time before 35. You marry any time before that. You know, you grow up, you either grow together, or one of you grows, the other one doesn't, whatever. And then
or you grow apart.
You get divorced, and then you both figure your shit out. Right?
Then you find out that you're both fucked up and nobody else is going to take you, so you go back to the person that wanted you in the first place.
Right, and you settle the way you should have settled in the beginning.
Boom.
Boom, blam. Boom, blam. Listen, welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. Yeah.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
On a Saturday.
Oh, yeah, another Saturday show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like these Saturday shows. It's nice.
Me
got a little
too.
Time to hang out beforehand, and I think the only drawback is I've been showing up a day early, and that pretty much guarantees that Joel's going to get me hungover.
Yeah,
it's my fault. Yeah, it's my fault.
The people love it, you know? They love you guys being like, what? You know? This is what it is, guys. Whatever happens on the show is on the show.
Well,
that's
the crazy thing is, I can be a dumb, stumbling idiot completely sober. I don't even need to be hungover for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm good at this.
Yeah. You seem on the ball, but you may have started drinking again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't see you in, like, full hungover regalia. Whatever that is. Just a blanket, maybe a smoke, you know, I don't know.
In your full hungover panoply.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're starting off lighthearted because this is a dark fucking episode.
Okay, yeah. So I think I need to say sorry to you and to Joel and to everyone for choosing this case. Now, I went off of headline first, then I watched the documentary, Don't Do That.
I couldn't get through the whole
thing.
Yeah,
don't do it. But the headline is very, it's interesting and it ends up being an amazing part of the story and the reason why I chose it. And so it ends up being exactly right. But Judy Malinowski, the only
Judy
woman
Malinowski.
So far.
Malinowski. Yeah.
Malinowski. Actually, names are not horrible in this. The
not
mom's
bad.
Name.
Oh, yeah. The only person with a fairly shitty name is the one that kind of has it coming.
Exactly
like,
right.
It is so fitting. It's wild.
Exactly right.
Did you guys get my text, the video text when I was in Prague of the name of the boat? Did you guys not watch that video?
No, I've still got you blocked on Instagram.
You're blocked on everything for me,
The
too.
Boat was called Clotilda.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
Yeah. From that one episode.
Yeah, from the one episode with the worst. Well, of course it was Canadian, but the worst names.
Yeah.
Every name.
There's a fucking giant boat on the river in Prague named Clotilda.
Clotilda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a word that like means something? Like was your wife?
The wife was like,
happy
yeah,
birthday.
Clotilda, like Matilda. It's the same thing.
Oh.
I was like,
oh, it's nothing.
Is
no,
it
it's
a
not.
Name there?
Nothing like Matilda.
I guess it's a
totally
name.
Totally normal there.
Well, she did think it was funny. She was the one that saw it and was like, oh, like the name.
My girl.
But yeah.
My girl.
Yeah. Clotilda boat, dude. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, can we do a cheers to your wife?
Oh, yeah. It's her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
It's her birthday.
Yeah. Cheers, baby.
Where's my drink?
Cheers. Cavetta, the only one in my eyes. The only gal.
You like that one.
The only gal in the world.
Yeah.
Is your wife. I mean, that is a badass bitch.
The only other person I've met aside from myself that is willing to actually spend multiple years around you.
Same.
Cheers to her.
Same.
Happy
it's
birthday,
it's been us three for decades, right? And you never thought maybe someone else could get in there, but boy, did she just, it's like she's been with us forever.
Aww.
And we love her so much. Happy birthday, Cavetta.
Yeah.
Thank God those post-Soviet bloc countries have low standards mm-hmm. after what they went through.
They're just badass. They're just
yeah.
like, shut, just quit fucking bitching,
dude. It's like, yeah, everything sucks. Why are you complaining about it? Just shut up.
Just shut up.
They
Do you even know? It's
They're like, she just did that to me. Like, when I got back, I made a story post, a picture of us, and I was like, I have jet lag, and this is the person responsible. And I tagged her, and she reposted it and just wrote, quit being a pussy.
Exactly right. Exactly
That's why
right.
I married her. Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
I was,
damn,
I've
I
said
her.
The story before, but my favorite bartender that I ever worked with was same kind of Slovakian, right? Is
yeah.
that what you?
Yeah.
And her favorite, the quote that has put everything in perspective and probably made me the person I am today was I was bitching with some girl about something, probably a dude or whatever, and she came up behind us and was like, at least you don't have retarded baby. And she didn't have one, but it's really just like, hey, guys, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
get some perspective.
Get some perspective. Like, quit whining.
That's at least the third time that I've heard that story, and I fucking love it every
good,
single time.
Right?
Like, it's
you never know. Listen, we've got new listeners every day, guys.
Yeah,
they don't know us.
It should be a staple of the show. Like, you're gonna have to repeat that story enough so everybody gets to hear it, because they don't want to go through the whole backlog to find out about
to find it.
Awesome
to find it. The
Europeans
reason,
are.
Like, when people are like, "Why is Jesse like that?" You know what I mean? So I just answer it for you at the top. If you want to know why I'm the way I am, and you probably are not all of you are going to like me. The reason
okay.
is because that quote imprinted on me in a way that has like colored my entire life. You know, that's just like, yeah, you're right. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Thank
right?
God for her.
Yes. Yes. Getting back to this.
Speaking
sorry.
Of retards.
Yeah, no. Oh, the guy. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. So the headline of this is, the only person to testify in their own murder trial.
Yeah, only person in history, which I never thought that anybody would actually be able to do that.
Right.
When you first sent the case over to me and I saw that
like,
the headline, I was
even?
Like, wait, what the fuck does this
Joel's
mean?
Joel's going to be confused the whole
I'm
time.
I'm already confused.
The whole time he's going to be
Bar
confused.
For the course.
Does she die?
Well, right. She's testifying in her own murder case.
Did she record a video before she died or something?
Oh, Joel, please.
Don't jump ahead. We'll find
My
out.
Gosh. You just want to end the show right now? Let's just do it. Yeah.
Okay. Right, that's it for this episode. You
yep.
want to say
all right.
And
well,
let's get out of here.
Joel just spoiled everything. No. It's got a lot of ins and outs, a lot of things that we love, right? Love.
This, I think it's a good follow-up to Jennifer Shewett.
Yes.
Kind of similar in certain ways.
Similar in certain ways. We've got my favorite soapbox, which is the opioid crisis. And I don't have the take you think I will. The problem with
it's
the opioid crisis is this.
It's a necessary evil.
No,
okay?
They're fine until you take it away. Okay? So look, I'm a better person. I'm a better mom. My house, you know what I mean? I can clean my house if you just give me the right amount, a little nibble.
Just
it's when you take it away and now I got to go to the streets is when you created
exactly.
the opioid crisis. And
exactly.
now mom can't get her little helpers. You know what I'm saying?
Now she's strung out on the horse.
Yes. We also have a, it's going to be a difficult one.
Yeah.
For many reasons, a couple is, it's hard for me when someone doesn't choose their kids like many, many times. But I will say she has made up for it in the end. So let's get into it, Coop.
In a relationship, it's perfectly natural for the initial passion to subside. In the beginning, everything is new and exciting, which causes your body to release massive amounts of mind-numbing feel-good chemicals. Eventually, this honeymoon phase passes and the real relationship begins. At that point, it's up to the couple to keep the spark going, which I'm sure you're both familiar with. I dip out during the honeymoon phase.
Oh, God.
For some couples, keeping the flame of their relationship alive comes naturally. For others, not so much. Michael Slager made the mistake of taking this far too literally. To him, the easiest way to keep things hot in the bedroom was with a can of gasoline and a book of matches.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, boy. Yes. The other thing is it's going to be hard for us to make this fun and flirty. We're going to try.
Yeah.
But I need to say at the top, we know how this case is fucking hardcore. It's insane. Don't watch the documentary. All of that. But this is Crime Corner, so we got to try.
We have to make it fun and flirty.
Where we can, right?
That is our cross to bear.
Yes. Where's the guy? Sorry, put him back.
Oh, here he is.
There he is. Oh. Risk it all. Risk it all for that guy, right?
Look at that piece of shit.
Yep.
You could tell he's a scummy just from only this part of his body.
But yep. He has such loving eyes. I mean, look at those.
They are blue.
Yeah.
They are kind of loving.
You can get lost in those.
Yeah, almost Aryan, you could say.
Yeah. Like, we basically with this guy, we know how he's doing.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Judy Malinowski was an attractive young woman from the family-friendly suburbs of Ohio. What's up, Ross? The Ohio State. We know. Just kidding. As a teen, her good looks and magnetic personality resulted in her winning a handful of beauty pageants, as well as being crowned homecoming queen. To top everything off, she had a smile.
No!
That some might say could light a room on. Could light up a room.
That's some solid ad-lib.
Never has
right
it
there.
Been more
just
true.
A little slip right. of the tongue.
Sorry. Bad luck and misfortune are the great equalizers. Regardless of how attractive or smart or successful someone is, at some point, they're going to roll snake eyes and end up eating a big ol' shit sandwich.
Goddamn right.
It's just the, facts of life. This was true for Judy as well. Her run of bad luck began when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in her late teens, which is insane.
Yeah. Especially at that, early of an age?
Yeah.
I didn't even think that it would really pop up. Is that something that's connected to HPV? Is that what HPV causes?
Yeah, and they may have. I mean, I know back in the day, another one of my soapboxes, they were, misdiagnosing things and being premature about hysterectomies. Let's say that.
That's why I can't have kids anymore.
I know. They just drained. They drained it. Did they drain it? Is that possible?
Oh no, they just
drained it.
Can they just get rid of all the stuff in there?
They just scraped it out like they were cleaning out the inside of a coconut.
Yep. Moving on.
Okay. This was true for Judy as well. Her run of bad luck began when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in her late teens, resulting in an arduous battle with the only thing on earth that is objectively worse than Ellen DeGeneres. I like that. Where did that kind of come from?
Yeah, I've been holding it back a lot. I fucking hate Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh my gosh,
so
me too.
Much. She like even before it was public that she was a huge piece of shit, she wasn't even funny. Like, it was, I feel roughly the same way about Jerry Seinfeld, because I've never thought that he was funny either.
Sure.
Like, his stand-up, the show was all right. Ellen DeGeneres, how the fuck did she get to the point that she's at now? She's terrible.
Yeah, it's one of those things I talked about it on The Rant, but it's like, your thing is you're a woman and you're a lesbian. Tell me something, show me something else.
And I do have to
show
say,
show me something else about you that's like, because you're not really that funny.
I might just be kind of a hater because I'm jealous that she landed Portia de Rossi, but I mean, outside of that, she's still not funny. I'm funnier than she is.
She's good at scaring people, like jump scares. That's when I started hating her, when she started just like scaring people.
When they really, really were like, it's one of those things that you think on the show, she probably was like, what's one thing that you kind of don't want me to do? And they're like, just don't, honestly, like, just don't scare me. Like, I have trauma. I just, like, don't, I really. And she's like, cool.
We're going to do it to
and
her.
And does it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what it felt like, the conversation. Because they were always, like, pissed.
You could tell.
It was scared and haha, but, like.
Because she.
Actually,
she
that would piss me off so
She can't
much.
Come up with anything funnier to do than that.
Right.
And even, like, when it comes to horror, jump scares are, they're the easiest, cheapest way to get a reaction out of somebody.
Yeah, my kids are into it now. It's just hiding behind everything and jumping out, and I go, cool,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, my niece and nephew, I don't get it.
Well, that's the entertainment level of her show.
Yes.
You guys nailed it.
Of like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, 10-year-olds.
Yes, they love it. That's why most of her guests are like kids saying the darndest things. After treatment, the cancer went into remission, but returned in 2006 when Judy was 22 years old. Damn, dude.
So initially, I didn't know how long she was fighting this, but it went on for like 10 years.
Yeah.
That's why start to finish.
What was the real... I mean, that seems odd to me. Do you know what I mean?
How so?
That she had ovarian cancer in her late teens and was dealing with that for 10 years. Whereas it may have been something else or something they could have cleared up, you know?
Oh, you think it might have been a misdiagnosis?
Misdiagnosis, or there was pain or endometriosis all these things that we know now that are like, you don't have to get hysterectomy. It's not really ovarian cancer. There are different variants of like HPV or things that can go on.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is she went to the doctor. If she never went, she would have never got diagnosed with anything and she'd be fine.
Well, that's my thing.
Yeah, if you don't get diagnosed, you're not sick.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, you know, how is it that we don't, that there's not as much going on now? I don't know. It's also like we put the least funding into women being crazy and being in pain. You know what I mean? Like down there.
Oh,
so
God,
it's like, I don't know, it's cancer.
That's
fucking,
an endless money pit right there. That's an unsolvable problem.
Oh, my
regardless
goodness.
Of what you do, there's always going to be an issue.
Mammogram, you got to get one every freaking year. And then we don't know. We found something. You come back in, you pay again. Oh, it's all clear.
So then for that, solution is just scrape out that uterus and send them home.
They were doing that.
That is
weird that they didn't do that with her if it really was. But, you know, you want someone to be able to have kids, which she was able to do. But Judy wasn't the type of person that took things sitting down. When life gave her lemons, she punched life in the balls and squeezed the lemon juice into its eyes.
She was a badass.
Yeah. And she was a good time, huh? She was forced to make a major sacrifice in order to get rid of the cancer for good. Doctors were forced to perform a hysterectomy, completely removing her uterus and ovaries. I think, again, they really just want women to shut up, right? And it's like, all right, let's just fucking take it all.
Yeah, well,
like
I mean, if you're going to mouth off, I'm going to take away
other...
the only thing that makes you unique.
Right.
Yeah, what are you going to do now?
Huh? Have fun with all the hormones now I'm going to fucking sell you. Don't get me started, Coop. Come on.
Do you think they could have possibly been just ovarian cysts that were misdiagnosed? Because I didn't find any medical information about her cancer.
Right, at that year, what was it?
It's around 2005. She was diagnosed probably somewhere around late 90s, 99, 2000.
Yeah, I think we were just... Yeah, dude.
Oh, don't get me started about 97 being the best year in history.
We're not going back down that.
Because I can't look up the Nicolas Cage movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can't do it again.
No.
And again, even if I do it, Coop is going to be like, I don't believe you. Doesn't matter what site I go to. What is it that you won't believe happened?
What was it?
Two movies?
Nicolas Cage movies.
Was it Con Air that came out in 97?
Con Air and the other one.
Face Off? No.
Was it? Yeah.
Now I'm...
We're not doing that.
See,
we're not doing that.
But I can't remember.
I'm right. It's the Mandela effect. You guys think that that's when those movies came out, but they didn't come out that year. This is a Berenstain Bears kind of situation.
You know who you sound like? Put his picture back up. You know who you sound like? A little bit of gaslighting, a little bit of abuse. I feel abused by you because you're lying to me. I know exactly what happened in 97. You're telling me it didn't happen.
Jesse, come on. You're acting crazy right now.
Nailed it.
I do, while we're talking, though, need you to find those two
movies. I will.
That he refuses to believe.
I'm on it.
Came out at the same time, and we're gonna we'll put it on screen. He won't look at the screen. He won't believe us. Anyways, back to Judy. Thankfully, before Judy lost her ability to have children, so in between the cancer and the remission she was able to have, she gave birth to two beautiful daughters named Kaylin and Madison. Although the cancer was gone and she had been blessed with children, the world still sadly had to put up with Ellen's bullshit talk show for another 16 years.
16 fucking years.
Can you believe it?
That's.
And it was her choice to go off the air. Do you know what I mean? We let her go until she was like, I'm good.
How do we have that many people in the country that were willing to support that show for so long when it was just, it was objectively trash?
Yeah. Man. You win some, you lose some. Am I right? Am I right, Coop?
Okay, look.
Okay.
I just searched Con Air and Face Off. It says better movie, Con Air 1997 or Face Off 1997.
What?
I can put numbers in parentheses. That doesn't mean that's when it fucking came out.
Okay.
Show me the proof. Let me talk to Nicolas Cage.
We can't.
And ask him about it.
We can't do it every time.
Yeah.
We can't do it every show.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to settle this after the show's over. Even after such an arduous journey, Judy's struggle wasn't over. Her recovery period coincided with the ongoing epidemic of opiate overprescription. For many years, there has been an issue with doctors prescribing patients with an unending supply of opioids due to incentives from pharmaceutical companies. Being one of the most addictive substances on the planet, patients would quickly get addicted to these drugs and need medical assistance to get off of them.
Only because they were taken away.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's...
They would have been fine if they just got the...
If they... And
go through the avenues of everything. An Adderall, a Xanax. Yeah, you got a piss test. You got to do all this stuff. I'll give it to you.
But, like, the fact that they were over-prescribing them in the first place because of these... The doctors were essentially getting paid money for writing these prescriptions. That's why OxyContin was such a big deal for a long time. It's because doctors had incentives to continue writing prescriptions for them, not even thinking about the fact that they're getting the patients hooked on this shit.
Right.
And it is, like, literally the most dangerous drug to stop doing.
Yes.
Like, you have to be in very, very advanced stages of alcoholism to make it where you need medical help to get off booze. With opiates, you can kill yourself just by not taking them.
And look, I'm cool with OxyContin's not being, you know, I didn't really like that. I like to just stone cold Vicodin. And that got fucking, you know what I mean? Taken up into the tornado.
And now
it's
all
like,
these,
leave Vicodin alone.
All these junkies are taking them all the time and not giving them to the people that are just trying to have a good fucking
just
day.
Just trying to fucking clean their house.
V&V, baby. V&V, my
V&V.
Favorite.
V&V.
With some coffee.
Yep.
Would you call them the mama speedball?
That's the hipster speedball.
Yeah, that's...
Of just coffee, cigarettes, and a Vicodin.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, I can go for that right now.
Well, and you do it. It's a shot. You take the Vicodin with a shot of vodka.
Ugh. And then go sit at a coffee shop and talk shit about everyone else that's a loser.
Yeah, all of your best friends.
All of your best friends that are losers at their jobs, dumb.
Oh, why does that sound so good right now?
Doesn't it?
Like vodka and Vicodin?
Yeah.
Vodka, Vicodin, and coffee.
Oh, that's what it is.
All right. Sorry.
You'll look like this.
I'm just saying, like, yep. Same year, right?
Same year. Yeah.
Same year.
You could tell by the facial hair.
Yep.
Which one was shot first?
Exact same age. Same year. Anyway, go ahead, Coop. Or is it me?
Nope. Your turn. Judy sadly developed
an addiction. When they lost their insurance coverage, many people had to turn to illegal opiates, like I said, such as heroin or fentanyl. Judy sadly developed an addiction to opiates that carried on after her cancer went into remission. Like many others before her, once she lost access to her prescription, she turned to illegal sources. As a result, she became addicted to heroin and endured all of the struggles that came along with it. In a lot of situations, this would have been a fast track to an early grave. Not for Judy. With the support of family and friends, she fought back against the addiction.
So we did just touch on this, but I mean, opiate addiction is rough shit. My former fiance, she's a manager at a methadone clinic, and I feel bad for every single one of those people because the vast majority of them started off just taking pain medication and they got hooked on it. They lost the pain medication, and you get really, really fucking sick when you try to get off any form of opiates. Like,
yeah.
If
you have kids and you have to do stuff or whatever, you're like, dude, I don't have time to fucking
withdraw
in that way, which is horrible.
Yeah,
right?
It changes like the entire chemical makeup of your brain. It's going to throw you into a depression. You're going to get physically sick, and it's a horrible situation. I've got strong opinions about opiates, but
how much do you have to take before it's at that level? Because I did a lot of Vicodin a couple times in my life, and
like a Matthew Perry or something, 30 pills a day or whatever, you go like, what I mean?
Yeah, it's more about the consistency.
The most I've ever done is like 4.
Makes you keep increasing the
dosage. I'm a little nibbler. I'm a little nip. You know I like a little nip.
I do. When I was doing the
V&V. You guys do a nip, by the way? A little nippy? Oh.
No,
we don't have any hard liquor here.
No, we do.
Yeah, thanks to who?
There's a bottle right on.
Thanks to who?
I drank all the bottles that are in the studio, all of them.
Good for you.
I thought you just said there's a bottle here somewhere.
I saw someone gave Ross a bottle. It's on his desk right there.
Ooh. Anyways.
He is a fan of the show. Maybe we could steal it and drink it.
We can always steal it. We can always steal it. If Ross leaves it here.
Drink it.
Yeah. This is your home now. This is your home now, Joel.
My house now.
Yeah, on the weekends.
In my own home.
In my own home. You're going to leave a bottle and then get mad at me? Because I nippy nip? Yeah, so I was a nibbler. Throughout the day, nibbler. But never.
So like,
I
mean,
took
break
a whole pill.
Like microdosing.
Yep.
Just a little bit throughout the course of the day. That's why I like my shrooms.
That's what I'm saying. There's people like me. They can't get, you know, there's people like me out there, and then there's people like a Matthew Perry that takes 30, right?
God damn, I can't admit. That's how you kill yourself, yeah.
The fact that he was able to take 30 in a day, and he was getting the strong ones, and I'm sure it was whatever, and not,
and
needed like,
more? And what, probably was just like, this isn't enough.
So the first time that I ever lived on my own, like rented my own place, I was renting a room from this guy that was on medical disability from a back injury, but the back injury was done and gone. He could get up and walk around just fine, but he was obviously feeding into it to keep getting all of his pain medication.
Sure, my dealer was the same.
Like in the mail, he would get these massive fucking bottles of Vicodin and I don't know if he was getting Oxycontin. He was getting morphine pills.
Dude.
Morphine in pill form. I didn't even know that shit existed. And he's
the morphine?
Duragesic patches.
The blue? Little
like little painkiller patches that you put on. And this motherfucker, he would put like two of the patches directly over the top of his heart and wrap it with an ACE bandage because he thought that was going to get it to inject into his skin faster. And then he would sleep for like 3 days at a time.
And that's why I can't take a little fucking nibble of Vicodin.
Because
you know
pieces of shit like that are using up all the resources.
Dude, if I got one giant bottle of Vicodin, it would last me a year.
And, exactly right.
You know, every Saturday after the show, we'd all do a V&V.
Oh,
and just
in
be
your
happier
home.
Than shit.
In your home.
In the trailer, yeah. In
or your home. In the studio. Yeah.
We're all admitting right now that we're drug addicts.
Listen,
live.
Hey, if you don't, well, welcome. to anyone new. Yeah. But yeah, we are reformed dirtbags that miss it so much.
But also, none of us are doing it, though.
Yeah, that's
so
the thing.
In a way, we just, we're complimenting ourselves.
That's what I mean. We miss it, and it's okay to, like,
love
miss.
It. Love it.
But even throughout the courses of our lives, we never got to the point where we were full. Like, we've always been surprisingly responsible with any sort of substance use.
Well, which is you and me kinda, have.
Like, look at us. Look at us, guys. I mean, we are killing it.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Yeah.
I like the term relatively responsible. You know what I mean? That's what it just really covers so many bases, right?
It's right in that borderline between being a nerd and being a junkie.
Yeah.
Like, we just fucking, it was on a razor's edge and we pulled it off somehow.
Man, we have got to.
You throw me a Modelo.
All right, so look, that's the end of our missing our old mistress.
Shit, sorry.
Are you all right, dude? You need a Vicodin?
Well, good luck getting one because all these junkies out there.
Roxy. Wow, shit. And I did say we were reformed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So as we were saying, it really can't be stressed enough how difficult it is even just making the decision to fight an opiate addiction. Judy not only made the decision to fight it, she decided she was going to win. While her family looked after her two daughters, Judy took it upon herself to stop chasing the dragon and slay the dragon instead. Through sheer will, she began the long and arduous journey of getting clean. And it was during this time that she developed a relationship with the kind of predator that would only be able to seduce a woman if she was at the lowest point of her life. And I fucking hate this guy so goddamn much. We've covered a lot of shitheads on this show, and he's in a special class of shithead.
Yep. It's been said that Eskimos have over 100 different words for snow. Each word describes a specific kind, whether it's powdery and dry, slushy and wet, or yellow and full of flavor.
The fuck?
Although this trope has been proven to be...
This part isn't even in the notes. She's just going off the cuff.
Yeah. I'm looking down like I'm reading, but I'm not. Apocryphal? I know.
Nailed it.
I know, because I know. So it still makes sense.
She was checking to make sure if it was okay to throw a big word in there.
Yeah. I was looking at you. still makes sense considering the amount of time they spend around snow. That being said, it's strange to think that with the amount of douchebags we encounter on a daily basis, there isn't a word in English, in the English language, that fully encompasses how much of a gaping, unwiped, shit-encrusted asshole Michael Slagler was.
God damn it, this guy's a piece of shit.
Can we put him back up real quick? Michael Slagler. Look into those eyes. There's fucking nothing there. We should probably get into why, but...
I've never seen a picture of him where he doesn't just look, like, insanely pissed off. Ever.
Yeah, so I will say, like, in court, if you can find, like, when he's sitting with his... lawyer, which I wonder if we're getting far ahead, but he looks like he and people described him as like this teddy bear, and he looked a certain way.
Really?
But he was people that he was trying to put on a show for. But anyways, let's get farther ahead before we go down that road. I read your part.
Oh, no, that's fine.
You put the big word in your part. That makes sense.
That was the only reason that I wanted to take that paragraph, but I wanted you to write it, but I didn't want to take apocryphal out of it.
Sorry.
I only get a few chances to actually use that word every year, and I got to cash them in.
I'm really sorry I took...
He does kind of look like a teddy bear, though.
I took that.
Look at him. He is cute.
Look at that sweet boy.
Stop.
You know, he looked totally friendly there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I took yours. Take the next for me. Michael Slagler.
So at this point, I think you can tell this is the part of the episode that I wrote last night with Joel.
Okay.
I do take responsibility for anything that's bad about it, but
I also am a bad influence on him.
Yep.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it. I didn't.
You were distracting him and then getting mad at him for being distracted, right?
He was like, I really want to say this, but I shouldn't put it in, right? And I'm like, yeah, you should put it in.
Put it in.
Yeah. And like disturbing
always
stuff.
Always put it in, bro.
Almost used the term cum fart in this episode, and I decided to cut it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of N-words. And
I always have to
anything
cut
anything but that. You got to dance around it. Like I taught you guys, you dance around the N-word. You don't go full.
The last part of the process is always going through and taking all of those out. Because if I try to do it in the moment, it throws off the whole flow.
That's your last pass?
Yeah, that's...
The N-word pass.
That's the final.
Oh, God.
And not the kind of N-word pass that I'd like to have. Unfortunately, I don't have any black friends.
Oh,
and then
that
you still
N-word.
Have to ask Joel, I can't leave one, just one in?
Just one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just one episode, just leave one in.
Nope.
Say it real
You already talk about Nazis every show.
That N-word. Wait, which N-word are we talking about?
Oh, I'm a fan of all of them.
Great, let's go. Michael Slagler.
All right, so
take the next one.
Michael Slager, who we will now be referring to as Shitface McDouchefuck, was the kind of guy that should have died from leukemia as a child. Imagine a guy with a face that says, I've never had consensual sex, paired with a neck tattoo that screams, I've killed more dogs than Michael Vick.
So true, dude.
And look at that fucking guy.
So true.
Statistically speaking, most people would prefer to discover a colony of leeches living in their asshole than see this douche wagon date their dog.
McDouchefuck met Judy at the most vulnerable time of her life, fresh out of a battle with cancer and just starting her battle with opiates. He saw her as exactly the type of victim he looked for in a woman, which he had done many times before. Being the suave gentleman he was, he romantically slid into Judy's DMs on Instagram and immediately began ruining her life.
Exactly what you look for in a boyfriend.
Yes.
This is going to be fun, but it's going to ruin your life. And that's exciting.
Yeah. So he preyed on people like this from their first date onward. So I think it should be noted, he didn't do any drugs. He wasn't addicted to anything. He was in the world, but he didn't have.
Whoa. He didn't
so
have.
So he could get it.
That's a part of it that to me makes it. So much worse.
So much
that makes
worse.
Him scarier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he preyed on women that were dealing with addiction or trying to get clean or whatever and would pose as this person that would help and then had access to drugs that he didn't do himself. So when a cop was called or whatever was called about something, he was the one that was able to say, she's all fucked up. Sorry. You know,
sober. Motherfucker. Ooh,
scary, scary. Fresh out of the battle, starting the battle with opiates, he saw her as exactly the victim. Blah, blah, blah. From their first date onwards, Judy and McDouchefuck, again, we're referring to him as the name he should have for the rest of the time, but it's the one guy, Michael Slagler.
Probably should have come up with something a little bit more concise, but that's what popped into my head at the time.
McDouchefuck.
It really works.
It really works.
McDouchefuck.
I'm going to flash his face every time McDouchefuck is said.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And that right there is a reason to sign up for the Patreon, because that's the only place you get the video.
Audio's fun, but man, do we party on Patreon.
Video's a whole lot more fun.
Yeah, you can see me get, on this episode, you can see me get hit in the face with a beer and then spill it all over the floor.
Yeah, and then open it because it was shooken up. Yeah. Open it quickly and down it.
Yep.
Reformed dirtbag crew. So, McDouchefuck. They were inseparable. In a relationship between two healthy people, this can be a good indicator that there is solid baseline chemistry. In any given situation involving Shitface McDouchefuck, it was a major red flag. As we previously stated, Judy was in the midst of a struggle with opiate addiction, but steadily making progress. Unsurprisingly, McDouchefuck began feeding and encouraging her addiction like the guys that kidnapped Liam Neeson's daughter in Taken. Is that...
Right, that's exactly what human traffickers do. They get them hooked on drugs because even when they want to get away, if they lose access to the drugs, they'd have to stick
or if they try and call the police, like this guy, they're able to be like, I'm sorry.
She's just a junkie. And
or like a Dahmer. So remember when Dahmer was like, oh, took the victim back in? Because it was like he was so fucked up that the cops were like, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and also at the same time, the cops were so uncomfortable with the fact that they were dealing with two gay guys. They were just like, yeah, go ahead and do whatever you
all
want,
right.
Weirdos.
Lovers quarrel.
I don't think they said lovers, though. They probably used the F word.
Yep.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Which F word?
Fart.
Ew. Yeah, all right, farters. All right, farters, we'll see you guys later. Have
Look
fun.
Look at these farters over here.
Have fun farting it up.
Goddamn poop buckets.
You know, it's funny that there's a lot of different things that you can say in a negative way, and even though it's not a slur, it sounds like a slur.
Context is everything, Trent. Yeah. Like Liam Neeson's daughter in Taken, he wasn't even a full-blown addict himself. He was just using Judy's addiction to gain leverage over her. Kind of like holding a door open for a lady, except instead of holding the door, he was tying off her arm and feeding her drugs that could ruin her life and the lives of her children. You know, same.
Like a gentleman. Yeah. I mean, it's roughly the same thing.
It's
all about context.
Yep.
So, fun fact, Michael Slager had a baby penis, which technically made it illegal for him to touch it without registering as a sex offender. True story.
Fun fact.
In any intense, emotionally charged relationship, there comes a time when all the pent-up feelings can't be held back any longer. That moment happened for Judy outside. Oh, man, this is where we're going to get into the depressing shit.
No.
So, here we go. So, we've now, you know, establish their relationship, what she's been through. She's got two daughters that are with, you know, have to be with her mom, but she's trying to get clean, and she's done so a couple different times. She's gone to one rehab, done it on herself, by herself, with sheer will one time, but
she's addicted because of cancer.
Yes.
Which sucks.
And before that, like we said, pageant, like good mom, like, you know, everything that just not in this world at all. Was taken into this world by the cancer and prescriptions. So now she's with this guy, and, you know,
he's keeping her all fucking addicted and shit.
And something that makes it.
And here we are. What? So she's now, at this point, scared of him, talking to her mom, like, I'm hiding from him. I don't want him to contact me anymore. The mom doesn't really know what's going on because there's been so much back and forth, and she really is dealing with a drug addict daughter at this point, which can go different ways in your mind of like what you're wanting to enable or help or whatever. And she has a relationship with McDouchefuck, the mom, because McDouchefuck is good at what he does and got on the mom's good side and was kind of like,
he had even won the mom over?
Yes, by being like, she's having problems, and anything Judy would say as far as like, I need to get away. What she said was like, the cops are not helping me because, you know, I have this addiction, whatever. She was like, the only way that I can get away from him is to go to rehab. So they set it up, they find a bed, and now they're on their way. Michael McDouchefuck is like, I'm going to take her. Tells the mom, I'm going to take her.
So as Jesse was saying, they were literally on their way to rehab when this part of it went down. So still fighting her opiate addiction, Judy was in the process of getting to rehab. This didn't sit well with McDouchefuck, who was worried about losing his only form of control over her. During an argument, Judy threw a cup of soda at him, and he responded by dousing her with gasoline and setting her on fire.
Where is this? Sorry.
And we've got the
yes,
the
and so,
ATM video of it.
Yes. So let's show the video that was caught on an ATM outside this gas station.
Mm-hmm. Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
So we are now seeing car driving up. So she's running away. A truck drives up, and this is behind the gas station. He walks up to her. They're still fighting. You know, you can see gestures of, you know, two people. Toxic and, relationship
yeah,
fighting.
Right, she there,
throws
she just threw a cup of soda at him.
Cup of soda, which apparently is the worst thing that you could ever do to this guy because
it's practically acid.
He goes back to his car, grabs a gas can, douses her with gas, lights
Holy
her
shit.
On fire. You can see her go up like, I mean, I didn't even
fuck?
Know that it could go up like that.
And the amount of time that, well, we'll get into it here.
And so what you saw in the video is basically he goes up to her. We don't see what happens. The video's a little bit grainy, so we see them fighting.
You could see her throw something, and it was a
he goes back to his car for something, goes back. Then you see him step back. Then you see him go back towards her. And then you see her almost like she spontaneously combusts into a ball of fire on her entire
body.
He's still next to her.
Just watches her.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And while she's on fire, she's talking to him.
Yes.
Like this is the part
but
of the
we
episode
can't
where
see,
it's going to
so
be.
So this video is, you know, something that came out later, but that's what we just showed you. Go ahead.
So take a moment to imagine the following situation. You're in a heated argument with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and they suddenly pour gasoline all over you. You plead with them to stop, but they walk away to grab a lighter. So she was already covered in gasoline, and he had to go back to his truck to get a lighter.
Why didn't she run?
You continue to beg them to stop, and they respond by setting you on fire. Now you're fully engulfed in flames, and the only person nearby to ask for help is the fucking person that set you on fire. And that's what Judy had to go through.
Yes. Judy suffered third and fourth degree burns over 90% of her body.
And fourth degree burn means it went all the way down to the bone.
Yes. So we're not going to show a picture of her. If you guys want to watch the documentary, it's called The Fire That Took Her. Go ahead. But it is insane. Anyone else with this degree, they go by percentage and age, and the degree's third, fourth, over 90% of the body. Like, she should have been dead.
Yeah.
100%. Her ears, nose, and fingers were all burnt completely away. When she arrived at the hospital, the medical staff expected her to succumb to the burns before the end of the day. They had never seen anyone with that. I mean, when it's basically that bad, a melting toast. Person.
Yeah,
live.
It is absolutely insane that she survived it at all.
They did take her to the Ohio State University Medical Center, though.
That's why she
survived.
God bless Ohio for that.
Ross.
Also number one, most
Dahmer.
Well, no, that was Wisconsin.
Oh.
No, he went to Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. That's where he learned to be a predator.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a Wisconsin
native. He did some of his best work at Ohio State. sorry, go ahead, Coop.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
You got him.
That she was supposed to die, basically. That they had not seen anyone go in.
Oh, yeah. With the burns that she had, they really expected her to be dead before the end of the day, and somehow she pulled through it. And just imagine being burned all the way down to the bone.
Down to the bone, and then the inhalation as well.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's inside as well, lungs and throat. Yeah. The medical staff did not expected her to die, essentially. Judy had other plans. She was not only going to survive, she was going to make sure the bastard that set her on fire paid for it.
Fucking
due to her
badass.
Extensive injuries, Judy spent the following months in a coma. During this time, she had to undergo more than 50 painful surgeries and skin grafts, had to be resuscitated nearly 10 times despite everything she had gone through.
Fuck.
She refused to give up and continued to fight. So Michael was also, do you talk about this? Michael was also in the hospital in a room.
Oh, no. That...
So he had gotten burns as well. So,
aww, poor guy.
I know, poor honey, a little
is he
bit
okay?
on the arms, yeah.
Aww,
I know.
Sweetheart.
Some of his tattoos are gone.
Not on the tattoos.
But did they like not know that he did it at this time?
Yes.
So like, he could have just like got up and killed her at any time.
I mean, they were definitely keeping him separate. Even when the mom came to see her, she saw Michael because they were, you know, they were dating and he had gotten into her good graces and she was like, Michael, whatever. And the staff had to separate the mom from him.
And what was that conversation?
And she was
like?
Confused.
Like,
by
Michael,
that.
What happened? I don't know. She just like she
just
got pissed
said,
off and just burst into flames.
The mom said that
he could be lying and saying he was trying to
it
save her.
It was an accident. It was an accident. He kept saying it was an accident when she went into the room. So she was just like, what? And then...
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. While Judy was recovering from her injuries that would kill most people, Shitface McDouchefuck, hello.
There he is.
Was arrested and put on trial. Do we talk about the detectives coming into her room?
That part, no.
So... Like we said, the mom gets separated and...
She's pissed? Or just emotional? Or
no, they had to separate them because they're not really sure what happened.
It was in the midst of an investigation, so like they don't have any evidence, but they're kind of suspicious.
They're kind of separating people that could... You always have to like separate people that could talk and get stories and make statements, right? So...
Oh, so they... The cops separated the mom from him?
Yes. But the mom didn't know why at this point because she hadn't even gone to see her daughter. So they didn't know for sure what was going on, but they were like, this is crazy. For someone to be that burned, you actually can't say it was an accident, right? So he's saying it's an accident. We've got many witnesses. We weren't able to find the 911 calls, but basically there's so many 911s. One calls coming in from this Speedway gas station of like,
what are they saying?
They're saying this girl just got literally lit on fire. They were like, some guy went over to her and then she lit on fire. Like she just got set on fire.
One of the people.
911 calls are like, what?
I think it was the guy that actually came up and put her out with a fire extinguisher.
Yes.
Said that it looked like she just spontaneously combusted because he didn't see the.
So
the
if you're sitting at, you know, you're getting your gas pump, you're looking over, and you just see a fight between people, and then the woman just goes up in flames. You're like, what the fuck? So all the calls were very frantic and confused, and the 911 and dispatch were just like, not really sure what they were walking in. They're like, oh, did somebody's arm or did a leg, you know, because people were not even really able to describe on the 911 call exactly what happened. And if they did, it sounded insane. So the dispatch was just like, what, can you just, you got to calm down. All the calls are just like, can you calm down? I can't understand what you're saying. What? And then when they got there, they were like, this is not right. We're going to separate them. We're going to figure this out, investigate, and then we'll see what this really is.
Yeah, they had to dig into it to figure out what actually happened.
So during
at a gas station, if anybody is going to accidentally get set on fire, realistically, that's one of the places where it's more likely to happen.
Right,
so
and you just go...
It's not necessarily evident that...
Right. And you go, like, did she get gas spilled on her?
Was she
her?
Trying to
Whatever.
Smoke a cigarette?
She, yeah, she, like, got gas spilled on her, and then she tried to smoke, which eventually becomes the defense. So,
Jesus.
While Judy was recovering from her injuries that would kill most people... Dude, was arrested and put on trial. In return for publicly setting a 31-year-old mother of two on fire, he was sentenced to 11 years. So his defense in the beginning in the hospital was she got a little bit of gas, or like we were in a fight, I spilled a little bit of gas on her, then we made up. Like, we were fighting. It was in the heat of the fight. I poured some gas on her. She threw a soda on me. And then we, like, made up, and she wanted to smoke. And so she put a cigarette in. I tried to light her cigarette, and she just went up. That was his defense from the hospital bed. So the detectives come in, talk to him. And Judy at this time, weirdly, is, like, coherent. It had been like a couple days, but she was able to at least be lucid, according to the detective. She didn't have any ears for him to talk into, or he didn't know if she could hear him. But the detective is asking her questions like, who did this to you? Wasn't an accident. She said, he was like, did Michael do this? Yes. Was it an accident? No. He did this on purpose? Yes.
Fuck.
And then they kind of let her rest. And, you know, then they were able to do their investigation. Interrogated him in the hospital as well. And he's just like, it was an accident. Like, said that whole story. Then he was like, I think I need a lawyer. Because they were like, they had already gotten ATM footage at that point, because at that time they were talking to witnesses. Any footage, you do this right by a bank. Fun fact, don't try and do anything by a bank. They have lots of surveillance.
Shit.
But I know.
I might be gone for a
They're coming for you. They're coming for you.
Yeah, jerking off in public's not that big of a crime.
Oh, okay, I'll be here then.
Yeah, yeah. Great. He won't have to leave the show.
Yeah. He'll be on a list.
So that's what's
like
happening
they're
at
gonna
this.
They're going to make me register twice.
That's what's happening at this point, is that they're like, okay, now they need to figure out how to prosecute this, right? Because they have a victim that can't really talk about it. They have witnesses that have kind of crazy, they don't really know. They can't say if it was an accident or not. He's saying it's an accident. He lawyered up from the hospital. So.
And I think the initial charges were, what, felonious arson or aggravated arson and felonious assault?
Yes. And at that time.
Aggravated arson? What the fuck is aggravated arson when you set somebody else on fire?
What other kind of arson? Can you tell me the other kind of arson there is on a person?
Even,
casual,
fun and even flirty.
Casual arson.
Yeah, yeah, just casual, fun and flirty. Oh, I just threw the match at, you know what I mean? I threw some gas, I threw in it.
I was aggravated with her, so I set her on fire, you know, just good old aggravated arson.
As
I didn't know that it
do.
Was considered arson if you literally set another person on fire.
Yeah, it should be straight up like, attempted murder.
Yeah,
and
you would think
at
so.
The time in Ohio, it was considered kind of, it was a domestic violence and aggravated, you know, assault, I guess, which the max you can get is 11 years. Even the judge was like, dude, fuck this. She yeah. gave him the, she read him the riot act and was just like, I wish I could fucking give you more,
that's
but
badass.
I can't. You're awful. You have no soul. You're evil. You literally tried to kill this person and they probably will die. But right now, this is all I can do.
And at that point, that was prior to the, well, later.
So this is when he got sentenced to 11 years in prison.
And did the judge make sure he couldn't have parole and stuff? Like, you're doing yeah. all 11. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it was
about
11. It was
11
plus 2. 11 plus 2. And I think she gave him the max that
fuck
she
yeah.
possibly could. And she was pissed that she couldn't give him more. But she made it known that, like, we might be coming. Like, I'm good if anyone wants to come back.
And this isn't going to be the last time that we
this
see
This isn't
going
to be the last yeah. time I see you. So despite the fact that Judy had been sentenced to a lifetime of suffering, the person responsible for the attack was going to be back on the streets in a little over a decade. Judy wasn't having any of that nonsense. For testimony to be accepted in court, the judge had to determine whether or not they are mentally fit to give a valid statement. One of the things that will pretty much automatically make something inadmissible in court is if the person giving the testimony is on drugs. Having been severely burned over 90% of her body, Judy was on a hefty cocktail of painkillers. Ironic.
Fuck.
Do we see the irony, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, she was trying to get off painkillers.
Back on it.
And here she is, like, day in and day out on the most fentanyl, morphine, everything that you can be on, that a person can fucking be on.
Oh,
because
you're gonna be giving her all the best
shit. Choice.
There is nothing more, according to
what
people.
Else can she do?
According to people that deal with this a lot, and you know, people that are you know. Deal with burn victims, like, it is the most painful inside and out pain that you can go through on a daily basis. It's something that you just can't even imagine. And she was her entire body.
And it's
was
one of
melted.
Those like one of those injuries that even after it heals, you're still going to be in pain. There's still going to be a bunch of nerve damage. There's
yes,
there's
and
no
everything
into it. You
sensitive.
Are going to be in pain
she
24
can't
hours a day.
Move. She can't do anything for herself. She can't. She's got a trach. I mean, it's awful.
Does she die?
That she should have been, she should have been dead. That's the pain that she's in, is like, people do not live like this for this long. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's
the
so
pain alone, not to mention everything else that goes
and
wrong.
Also, like, to put it in perspective, we were okay with showing the video of her being on fire, and we've talked about a lot of fucked up shit on this show, but I'm with Jesse when it comes to not showing a picture of her when she's in her hospital.
I don't even want to see
we're
it.
Not showing it.
Yeah.
I'm not even
just
look.
Think of the word. I mean, think of the picture that you had of her and the most unrecognizable skin on.
Fucking Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. But still able to talk and sounds kind of like, you know, when you hear her normal. So it's very strange and can't get up. I mean, so she's living in this.
This is hell.
She's living yeah. in this hospital bed for, what, 18 months at this
yeah.
point?
Fuck.
So when she heard that he got 11 years, she was just like, fuck this. What can we do? And the prosecutor that was working with her was like, I'll do whatever. I'm here with you. Someone's finally listening to you, domestic violence wise, whatever. We're going to do it. What do you want to do? I'm not sure what else we can do. Can you testify? Right. But like the only way that she can testify. So Judy was on a hefty cocktail of painkillers 24 hours a day. This meant that any victim impact statement that she gave would be thrown out because she's on more than Matthew Perry daily.
Yeah. She's Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry is us.
Matthew Perry squared.
Matthew Perry's me nibbling on a Vicodin compared to what she had to be on, right? This is unless.
For a very valid reason. Because 100%. She's insane amounts of pain.
And that's why I'm saying the irony of it is insane that she was on her way to rehab, being driven to rehab to get off of opiates. And here she is on more opiates than anyone has ever been on. So this would have been thrown out, unless Judy stopped taking pain medication in order to do this.
Despite being in unimaginable pain during every waking moment, Judy stopped taking all of her painkillers so she could give a statement that was admissible in court.
Holy shit.
For weeks, she endured pain that very few people could understand, all so she could be mentally clear enough to tell her story, and tell her story she did. From her hospital bed, Judy described the uncaring look in the eyes of her attacker. She described the pain of being burned alive in vivid detail, and with every ounce of strength she possessed, she ensured that the court understood the horrific experience that shit-faced McDouchefuck put her through.
Thank you.
And the following is a direct quote from her deposition.
Holy shit, what a fucking boss.
Right?
Ugh.
He ran around to the other side of the truck and got these two cans of gasoline that he kept in the back of his truck. He ran around me and started pouring gasoline. He started at my head and worked his way down. Some got in my throat as he did that. And that burned really bad. He then set me on fire.
And the attorney asked Judy what his demeanor was like while he was doing this.
And her reply was, evil, just completely evil. He's not responding to any of my cries for help. He won't tell me why. He backed away from me for 30 seconds. I kept telling him to please help me and stop. I'll get in the truck and go with you. Why would you do this?
Like, even saying that she would go along with him if he just stopped doing it. And it was like talking to a brick
wall. And what she meant by backing away for 30 seconds is then he pulled the lighter out of his pocket, bent down, and lit her on fire as she's screaming, please stop. I'll get in the car. I'll stop that. Like, let's just be together,
Jesus
whatever.
Christ.
So had moments. That's the other thing that
had the time to think about.
Had the time to think. So had the time to go back to the truck. That's what we do when like intent, right? For first degree is like you had time to stop what you were doing.
Yeah.
And you still did it. So time to go back to the truck and get the gas, pour it on her, stepping back, time to think about lighting her on fire and doing it anyway.
Deciding to.
Yes.
After nearly 2 years of suffering, Judy succumbed to her wounds in June of 2017.
Fuck. So she knew the reason why she did this testimony is that in the hospital, they were like, her body was giving out. Her spirit was still there. Her body was giving out. So they were like, you are going to die from this.
Fuck.
We want to get this guy for murder because you are going to die. How do we get him for murder without you testifying? So she was like, I'll fucking do it. So what we mean by testifying your own
she
murder trial.
She died because she's to testify, basically.
Basically. I mean, it didn't help. It didn't help, but she was going to. But so it was like, this is what we mean by testifying your own murder trial, is that like you're about to die and never before have they been able to get a full deposition with cross-examination, by the way. So her lawyer is asking her, and then the dumb fuck defense gets to ask her, like, what did he say?
He was like, are you sure that it wasn't a...
He wasn't joking around.
He wasn't joking around like, you threw this on me, so I'm going to throw this on you. It's fucking gasoline. She threw a cup of soda at him, and he dumps gasoline on her. Like, oh, no, I'm just fucking around.
But it had to be a real cross, right?
Yeah.
In order for it to work. So
but even, like, that lawyer, I don't understand how they would even be able to ask that question in that situation. It's their job, so I mean, I get it, but holy shit, how is it ever a joke if you throw a bunch of gasoline on somebody else?
It's the only thing they had. It was
literally, do I look like it was a joke?
Yeah, fuck.
It's like if Joel punched me in the shoulder and I shot him in the face.
Right.
So yeah, I was just fucking around.
Yeah, you know. Are you sure Coop wasn't kidding?
It was all in good fun.
And as you saw from the video, this defense that like we made up and she wanted a cigarette lit in the span of 30 seconds from throwing a soda, throwing gas all over you. In 30 seconds time, you're going to be able to make up and then sit down and be like, all right, babe. They're just from the video. It just didn't happen. It didn't happen.
So it's like, oh, huh, you got me. Dumped gas all over me. Let's just make up. Can you hand
me
a cigarette?
Let's just fucking smoke. She wasn't an idiot.
No.
So McDouchefuck had only gotten a slap on the wrist when he was initially convicted. After Judy's death, he had a new charge to deal with. Already serving his 11-year sentence, he was sent back to court to stand trial for murder.
Fuck yeah.
During the trial, the prosecution called on a surprise witness from the grave. Judy Malinowski herself. The video she had made from her deathbed became the primary piece of evidence for the prosecution. The weeks of suffering she had endured to clear the pain medication out of her system made it so her testimony was finally admissible during the trial. She literally testified in her own murder trial.
That's
fucking insane.
That's fucking
insane, dude. Insane. Following Judy's posthumous testimony, shitface McDouchefuck, thank you, was sentenced to life in prison. Judy successfully made sure he got what he had coming to him, even after her death. Due to her and her family, this is now a law in Ohio known as Judy's Law that increases the prison sentence for perpetrators of an attack that results in the disfigurement or disabling of a victim. So,
fuck yeah.
At the time, it was treated as just domestic violence, assault.
Yeah.
Not even taking into account what had happened to the person that had gotten attacked. And I'm sure it happened many times before that. Either brain damage or something where it's like
things like acid attacks and stuff like that. And as far as I know, Ohio is the only state that has a law specifically dedicated to that that automatically adds 6 years to your sentence if you're convicted.
Yes.
I'm still trying to get that law passed.
We're going to call it Coop's Law.
Coop's Law.
Coop's Law.
Dude.
You have to serve 6 months if the cum burns your eyes.
No, if you get it in my hair.
That was inappropriate of me to
if you get it in his hair.
Can we just sit for a second on that one? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you get it in Coop's hair.
6 months in prison.
Yep. She had been actually in the hospital bed had been working on Judy's Law. And after this, the family kept it going and all stood hand in hand while Judy's Law was enacted. So look,
I think she died in peace. I think knowing that she got him, she was like, I can go to bed now.
Yeah, man. And like, to be honest, like that much pain, like I said in the beginning, she fucked up a lot, not completely her fault, but she fucked up a lot with her kids. Her kids are dealing with, you know, whatever her mom chose over them for whatever reason. But in the end, she made up for all the shit that she went through. Is like, all right, Judy. All right, girl.
Talk about just inspirational, you know. That's my mom did something cool like that. I'd be proud of her forever.
Yeah, and
like
they also, are.
You know, you imagine the fact that she initially tried to wean herself off opiates in the first place while she was completely healthy outside of the addiction. She was able to successfully quit taking opiates while burned over 90% of her body, where she just, no question, absolutely needed them.
Yeah.
And even if you're perfectly healthy, it's hard to get off of that shit. And she did it in a situation where, like, she definitely, deserved to be taking them.
Yeah.
And she took that.
And how long
down.
Did she have to be sober for? For like a week or more? A
couple weeks.
A couple weeks to completely get out of her system. And those weeks were like, when she was testifying, it's like she was badass, right?
I can't even be sober for 2 weeks. It's too painful without any pain.
Right?
That's just like
I'm
the pain of like boredom.
Just the pain of existence.
So in
big
the
fan.
End.
I'm a big fan of Judy. She's a fucking badass bitch. And the last one, get two badass hoes back to back.
Yeah, this
badass
case reminded me a lot of Jennifer Hewitt. Hey, that's the most amount of respect you're going to get. I'm sorry. Still got to, you got to give it a little bit of a caveat.
Fair enough.
Now, if a dude did it, that'd be real fucking badass.
Now, listen, what do I expect? It's like the fish stinks from the head, right? I'm the one that fucking puts this in your head anyways. I can't be mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like we pay attention to it.
Because, she was a little bit of a hoe.
Was she?
Listen, like I said in the beginning, she made up for everything. She made up for all the mistakes.
Yep.
Like her kid, her kids couldn't even get any victim, compensation.
Are the kids all fucked up now?
No, they're good. They're being raised by their mom. And Judy had, before she died, she had, rules and things in place that she laid down, which is like they need to go to college. It's not even a question. They can't go to dances until they're like 13, 15, whatever. She was like, they don't have any inheritance. They don't have anything to. She was basically going off her own life. Like, look, don't make sure they don't do what I did. I know you don't have a lot of money. Make sure they do well enough to go to college and make their life and do it right, because I didn't. And she did acknowledge, I fucked up.
Yeah.
And here we are, and I'm trying to make up for it. And she did, I think.
I think something that's unique about her is she, from any of the information that I heard, she never really made excuses for herself. Like, she was aware that she was fucking up, and when she was, had enough clarity to really think about it, she would try to do better.
Yes.
And, I mean, all around, I've got a lot of respect for this lady.
And what about the dude? Fucky face. What's his name?
So, weirdly enough, too, Judy, before she died, too, and in her deposition, didn't want him to get the death penalty. She actually wanted him to get life in prison and find God and repent and do all the things. So she made sure that he got life without parole, but
worse.
Not the death penalty, because he was going to.
And from Judy's perspective, the reason that I didn't know about this until just earlier today when I was doing some last minute research before the show, she specifically didn't want him to get the death penalty because she felt like even regardless of what he did, he still had the opportunity to repent
and
become a better person.
I think she was
after
also
what
just
he fucking
like,
put her through, and she still wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Because I think she was also like, I'm not without fault. So, if there's a chance for you, which there's not, because he's a big piece of shit.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Never,
massive
he's
piece
never
of shit.
He's never going.
I hope she said that to get it to happen, because what she really wanted was for him to suffer in jail for
because
his whole
also,
life instead of getting
I prefer
killed.
The death penalty.
If someone did this to me and they could get the death penalty, I would feel like that was a little bit too easy.
Exactly.
Death, you think about life in prison, fine, but it's the death at the end when they have to put you in the hospital ward of the prison and nobody's there and you're dying of whatever old age shit you're dying of and no one cares about you. No one really is trying to take care of you. They're just
they're not making
sure you're alive. No one visits you, nothing. And you die alone in this shitty hospital bed.
Yeah.
With no drugs, nothing to help you, that I feel like is worse.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that could make it any better is if we found out that he got the old pedophile treatment in prison.
I would hope.
I think.
My gosh, I hope that they would make an exception, right? Go ahead. I hope they made an exception. That, like, yeah, sure, the prison rules only apply to, like, you know, a rape and, you know, kid stuff. But I hope for this guy. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I hope for this guy. They said, you know what? You did what? Guess what's going to happen to you?
Oh, we're just going to leave you in the shower alone without any guards.
Yeah, prolapse. Prolapse, buddy. Over and over.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.